Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And welcome to worship. Just a couple of notices. We're short of door stewards on the third Sunday of the month, so if anybody thinks they could do that, if they would see Joy or me.
We are always on the
third Sunday. Yeah. We're starting coffee again from February, but we have to still stick to nobody wandering around. Nobody can wander from table to table. And whoever does the coffee has to hand it out to the tables. So as long as people stick to the rules, we can start coffee again from February. Masks must stay, even though the government have taken them off. The Methodist Church hasn't. So we must stick to the other rules. We welcome Mrs. Maureen Ridley to our service this morning. And now we'll say our prayer for today. Lord, help us to encounter you afresh. Encourage us in our fears. Bring opportunities to share our story and ears to hear the stories of others. Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good to be here once again. We start with our introit. Now is the time to worship. Let us have a short prayer for our call to worship. Come and join the body of Christ. Come whether you feel weak or strong. Come whether you are suffering or rejoicing. Come whether you feel oppressed or free. All are welcome here. Side by side, hand in hand, we all stand together in the body of Christ. Amen. In today's worship, we explore all standing together. And our first hymn, I don't know whether they're on the screen or what, is number 89 in Singing the Faith. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Now our prayers of approach, thanksgiving and confession. Let us pray. Today, Lord God, we come before you, as is our custom, as was the custom of Jesus growing up in Nazareth. We await your word to us now, just like those who waited while he spoke in the synagogue after his ministry had begun. May we hear your call and stand with him and with one another to serve freely in the work you have given us. Amen. We praise you for the freedom we take for granted, Lord, the freedom to serve you every day of our lives, openly and seldom challenged. We give so little thought to this freedom that we sometimes fail to exercise it. So we thank you, Lord, for every opportunity that comes our way to be your hands, your eyes, your heart in this world, to do your will, to see the things as you do. to share your love. We praise you that in serving, we stand alongside our sisters and brothers in Christ in a journey stretching down the generations from Jesus himself. All things and praise be to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now our confession prayer. Lord, we confess that we tend to see our calling as individual. What would you have us do? We ask, where might we best be used? And of course, that is part of our calling, for you see us as individuals. We are also called to stand alongside one another in our service, and we sometimes forget this. But you, Father, always see the bigger picture. Forgive us for being so caught up in our spears that we fail to see the need to stand with our brothers and sisters, to serve together in the advancement of your kingdom. Amen. Now, I don't know if the children are ready to go out. We'll just have a little prayer. Lord, be with the children as they go out to their activities and to learn more about you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I've got a little present. Thank you. Right. Now I have something different this morning. Liz is going to come out and say a few words. I asked her two questions, but she'll tell you what the questions are and answers.
Good morning. Well, because we're talking about the body of Christ and talking about this topic this morning, Maureen asked us if I would answer two questions. One of them being, what is my ministry in Christ? What is my life in Christ? And if I was in the body of Christ, which I am, which part of the body would I want to be? Now, as a child of Christ, I am in the body of Christ. And when I think of the body of Christ, if you've ever seen a crystal, and when the light shines on the crystal, all the light starts shining from that crystal, all the facets of that crystal. And it's absolutely beautiful. And because we're in the body of Christ, when the Holy Spirit shines on us and through our heart, we start shining as the body of Christ. Now, in 2 Corinthians 5, 17, it starts telling us that we are in him and we are new creations. Not just when you give your life to Christ, but every single day we are new creations. And we have been reconciled to God. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. And he also asks us to be ambassadors for him. That we will go out and reconcile other people to us. And as children of God in Christ, and all the different parts of the facets that you see through a crystal, as I say, shining through us when the Holy Spirit shines on us, give us the opportunity to do that. And I want to give a few examples of throughout my life, my ministry has been to go out and speak to people on the street, to go out and share with people what God's done for me and what he can do for them. And there's one particular day that I was out with Maureen, actually, at the monument, and this man came up to us and he said, "And it's your fault." I said, "Excuse me?" He says, "It's your fault." I says, "What's my fault?" He says, "Well," he says, "about 3 years ago," he says, "you were speaking about God at the monument. And," he says, "you tried to speak to me, but I was swearing at you. I was being awful. I was spitting at you. And when you give us a piece of paper, which you call a tract, I was going to tear it up and throw it away. And you told me to put it in my pocket because one day I would need it. Anyway," he says, "I went away, I got myself in trouble. He says, I started drinking, I was horrible. And," he says, "I ended up in jail. And," he says, "but when I came to, when I became sober, I picked up this piece of paper that was in my pocket and started reading it. And it said that God loved me. It said that if you ask me into your life, your life will change." And he says, "I got on my hands and knees and I give my life to God." And he says, "My life completely changed." He says, "The whole room in the cell lit up." And he says, "I knew that what you had said that day had changed my life." And he says, five years later, he says, "I found a church. I've got a good wife." And he says, "I've got two beautiful kids." And he says, "All this time I've been thinking of you and I knew I had to come and find you." And that particular day I was with Maureen and he came and he's saying, "And it's your fault." And I says, "What's my fault?" He says, "It is, it's my fault, your fault, that I've got God in my life." He says, "It's your fault that I've got a fantastic life." And he says, "If it wasn't for you," he says, "I don't know where I'd be now." And there was another day, I was at Morpeth with a team. And when we used to go to Morpeth, they used to call me the God Squad. And this particular day, we've been talking to people. A couple of people have been born again. A couple of people have been prayed for. And this man came past us and he was on crutches. And he's shouting at us saying, "It's a load of rubbish, don't believe that." I says, "Really?" I says, "God can change you today." I says, "God can heal you." "Don't believe it." I says, "Well, it's your choice. God can't heal you. He's healed me, so he can heal you." And he stopped in his tracks and he looked at us. He says, "You strange, crazy woman." He says, "You're being serious, aren't you?" I says, "Of course I'm being serious." He said, "Go on then." So I called my colleague over and I says, "Right." I says, "He's going to stand on that side and I'll stand on this side and I'm going to pray for your over your legs if that's all right." "Okay." And I put my hands on his legs and I just started thanking God for his healing. I says that all this, and your bones and your sinews and all the different parts of your legs. And he says, "Whoa," he says, "the heat." I says, "That's the Holy Spirit starting to heal you." And then I says, "Right, we're going to put the crutches to one side." And I says, "From here to where Elsie's sitting, there was a tree." And I says, "We're going to start walking to the tree." I says, "I'm on this side." I says, "My friend's on the other side, and very slowly we're going to start walking." We didn't even get to the tree before we started jumping up and down and dancing round. He's gone, "Whoa, thank you, Lord, I'm healed." And then he says, "I want what you've got." And then he gave his life to Christ that day. And you just don't know who's watching you. You don't know who's listening to you. You don't know who you're going to bump into when you go to the shops, when you go to the supermarket. You don't know if you're going to meet somebody in hospital. You don't know. But as ambassadors of Christ, we're always being watched. We're always making a difference. And finally, before I get booted off here, I'm going to give one more testimony that's just more recent to me. Now, you all know that during lockdown, I ended up having an operation to remove a tumour from the front of my head. But what you don't know is they did a biopsy and they found cancer at the front of my skull. And after seeing the doctor, I was told I would have to have radiotherapy. And this radiotherapy was going to last for 5 weeks, every single day apart from the weekend. I was meant to start on the Monday, but that didn't happen because I got shingles. I was meant to start the following week, but they got me days mixed up, so that didn't happen. So by the third week, eventually, I was going to start on the Monday for this radiotherapy. And so Dr. Zabrush picked us up, took us to the hospital, and took us to the room where I was meant to be getting the radiotherapy. And can you remember what I said at the beginning? That you don't know who's watching you. You don't know who's listening to you. You don't know that people, when you represent God, are watching every move you make. And there was a particular lady that was waiting for her son to have radiotherapy at the same time. He was already in before me. And she was quite tearful. She was quite upset. And she was asking why I was there. And I gave my testimony how from being little I had cancer, but because of the radio and chemotherapy I had, it started to cause problems. Now I'm older with these tumours showing that ugly face. And never mind. I says, but by the grace of God, you know, I'm going to get through this. And she says, what did you say? I says, by the grace of God, I'm going to get through this. And I says, and so will you. And so will your son. I says, would you like us to pray for you? So I prayed for her son. And she says, thank you so much. I didn't know I was going to see her every single day over 5 weeks. And each day I prayed for her. And on the last day that I was going, I went in, I got dropped off, and I rang the bell of victory because it was my last day of the radiotherapy. And then I thought, oh, where are they? Because they were either before me or after me. But there was no sign of them. And just as I was about to go in, they came out and they said, oh, so pleased we're going to see you. We didn't think we'd see you because we got in sooner today. So I give them a little box of chocolates and I give them a card with me name and telephone number on. And I says, look, I says, if you need us, just send us a text or ring. I'll be there for you. So 3 weeks later, I didn't know if I'd ever hear from them ever again. I got a text saying, hi Liz, is it all right if I ring you? I said, of course it is. So since then, they've given their life to the Lord. They're stronger for all they're still going through a lot of stuff. But they said, if it wasn't for you, we don't know where we'd be now. And again, you just never know who you'll meet, when you'll see them. You don't know if it'll be a once-off or if it'll go continuous. Well, I'm quite good friends with this couple now. And I'm hoping sometime when it gets a bit warmer to be able to go and see them because they live in the middle of nowhere in Rothbury. And, you know, I just stand here. My life, what is my purpose in life? My purpose is to shine. My purpose is to be an ambassador for Christ. My purpose is to reconcile people that don't know God to God. So, there you go. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maureen.
think I need a drink. Actually, it's the Bible readings now, which we should have had before Liz, but sorry about that. So if Nat and Heather would like to come.
In Galilee. Then Jesus, armed with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and reports about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and all men sang his praises. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and went to synagogue on the Sabbath day, as he regularly did. He stood up to read the lesson and was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the scroll and found the passage which says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He has sent me to announce good news to the poor, to proclaim release for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to let the broken victims go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and all eyes in the synagogue were fixed on him. He began to speak. "Today," he said, "in your very hearing, this text has come true." Thanks be to God. Amen.
Now for the epistle. I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 12 to 31 inclusive. One body, many parts. The body, that is the church, is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether we be Jews or Greeks, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, the human body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, the human body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, then where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lack whatever, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, the church, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, secondly, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those who are having the gifts of healing, and those able to help others, those with the gifts of administration, and those who can speak in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all of you prophets? Are all teachers? Do you all work miracles? Do you all have gifts of healing? Do you speak in tongues? No. That's not important. What is important is that you eagerly desire the greatest gifts. And Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, then goes on to talk about the greatest thing that we can share, love. May God give his grace and blessings to this reading. Amen.
Thank you, Nat. Thank you, Heather. And now for the message. You'll be pleased to know it's short. Jesus goes to his home synagogue in Nazareth. He reads out some verses from the scroll of Isaiah to the people present. He tells them that this scripture is coming true today. The people listening to Jesus in the synagogue for the first time, where he had grown up, would have been shocked. They were hearing a neighbor expressing revolutionary views. Two things leap out of this starting of Jesus about ministry. Firstly, Jesus' imaginative vision. This is the prophetic boldness to discern in that moment in his home synagogue that God's reign is to be declared. For the fact is that for many in the Roman-inclined state of Galilee, of Jesus' time, it would have been challenging to picture God's abundance coming to get his oppressed people free. The second thing is related to Jesus' declaration of purpose was a call to his hearers to join a new community. Just as Isaiah of old had been speaking to people in need of new hope and promise, so was Jesus. The work of God's kingdom was not simply about the Messiah. It is an invitation to all to stand together and get involved. Whatever Paul might be, he is a creative genius. He supplies the church with some of its key ways of self-understanding. His image of the church as a body is beautiful, challenging, and fresh. In body, cannot function if each part of it doesn't work together. Nor is there any part of the body that doesn't have its place in the functioning as a whole. Paul doesn't stop there. He challenges his readers to embrace the idea that those parts of the body that seem weaker or less honourable should be seen as indispensable or given greater respect. It is a reminder not only that all parts of the body of Christ have their place together and stand and fall together, but that God's reality turns our worldly ideas upside down. Bodies are complex, and intricate things. They come in many shapes and sizes, and there is great beauty in their variety. It is worth saying that not only every part of our bodies is treated with equal dignity or respect. Many people think their feet are ugly or disgusting. Nowadays, people use Botox and have nose jobs, and their lips plummet up to make them look fuller. If you were to be a part of the body of Christ, which part would you long to be and why? Liz has already answered that question for her. The gifts God gives us varies from person to person, but all are valuable to the body of Christ, which is the church. As a church, do we really treat our least powerful members with much respect? Maybe we should reflect on our lives and our roles in the church and local community. Because since COVID started, nothing seems to be the same. Everything seems to have changed. What do we value about our own lives, our own roles, and those of other people? How well do we all stand, and work together? The readings remind us that God's justice is for everyone. Affirm our equality in God's eyes, that we are all valuable, and he invites us to take action in support of our community and to stand alongside one another. Amen. Our hymn is 489, Knowing You, Jesus. Now it's time for our prayers of intercession, and Lynn's going to come and do them.
There is a bidding and response. When I say, may your kingdom come, could you please respond through our prayers, actions, and words? Let us pray. Dear God, as food prices rise and fuel costs increase, we pray for wisdom in how we use our resources. Guide us and help us not to overspend. We pray for those who struggle to pay their bills and those in debt. We ask your blessing on food banks, debt counselling services, and credit unions. Help us all to be generous in supporting one another and sharing what we have. May your kingdom come through our prayers, actions, and words. Dear God, we pray for our justice system, for the police, lawyers, judges, probation officers, and those who work in our prisons. May justice be served in the courts. May all be treated with fairness and equity. Be with those who have been convicted and those serving prison sentences, and support their families and all whom they love. May your presence bring comfort and hope. May your kingdom come through our prayers, actions, and words. Dear God, sometimes the way forward is unclear. We hope for easing of restrictions, but we wonder about the timing or risks. Give insight to scientists and politicians that we may be led in the right direction and be encouraged by the hope which your Spirit offers us. May your kingdom come through our prayers, actions, and words. Dear God, in these challenging times, give wisdom and strength to those who are trapped in lives of addiction, who feel there is no escape. We pray for Alcoholics Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous, Drug Addicts Anonymous, and all groups who seek to show people a path through addiction and offer kindness and support. May your kingdom come through our prayers, actions, and words. Dear God, we thank you for the mission and ministry of Jesus, for the challenge he offers, the peace with which he fills us, and his love which inspires us. We pray that we might find imaginative ways to share his love and to proclaim his good news. Bless the church throughout the world. Enable the stronger to support the more vulnerable, that Jesus' name may be known and honoured in every place. May your kingdom come through our prayers, actions, and words. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now let us say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Lynn.
Our last hymn is 611. Brother, sister, can we serve you? Now the blessing. God, you call us to be the body of Christ in this place, side by side, hand in hand. Help us to stand together, to stand with our neighbours, to break free from all that holds us back from making the world as you want it to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
I forgot to say that the rota for the coffee is on the back, a new rota, so if anybody would like to put the name on to do coffee from February, thank you.